Good morning, Bill Moyers.
Jim, it's good to talk to you.
Well, it's good to talk with you. Let's start with the documentary. This is something I know, after many years of doing a lot of different projects, you've taken great pride in the outcome of this. Tell us about how this came about.
Well, as you know, we have 2.3 million Americans in jail, the largest number in the world, and largest prison population in the world. And Louisiana has the largest prison population per capita of any state in the union or any country in the world. And this disturbs a lot of people. A third of those people, according to very important studies, don't have to be there in order to keep the public safe. You put people away to keep the public safe. If they're no threat to society, they shouldn't be there. There are alternatives to what we can do with and for them. So about 4 years ago, when it became evident that the prison in New York, Rikers Island, which is between Queens, the borough of Queens, and the borough of Manhattan in the East River, had developed a notorious culture of cruelty and violence, I decided we needed to hear from the men and women most impacted. So while a lot of print publications were doing extraordinary exposés, my team and I tracked down a number of former detainees and interviewed them about the experience. And what you have when you watch the film is the arc of what happens to somebody who's going to New York's largest and meanest jail. And it's quite a moving and informative experience.
Well, what is happening there? Is it applicable to places around the country? And we have one president in Louisiana of note.
There was a ranking of the worst jails in America some few years ago, 7 or 8. Rikers was number 10. The Los Angeles County jails were number 1. Number 5. So, yes, Michelle Alexander, who wrote the best-selling book about our prison system, our incarceration system, called The New Jim Crow, looked at the film and said, you know, Rikers is every jail, and every jail is Rikers. Now, that's a metaphor for the fact that while there are some jails that do a responsible job, most of our jails are overcrowded. Those have led to uprising and recently to hunger strikes, and we just need an alternative to this very expensive and often inefficient and unproductive system of mass incarceration. Most voters around the country, in many states, are no longer willing to pay the price of keeping people locked up when there are no threat to society. There are alternative and less expensive ways to deal with them. So, yes, it's a national problem. You have your issues there. I was in Baton Rouge recently to stream the film for a good and attentive audience, and I heard firsthand some of the issues you face in Louisiana. And I was just in California, same story there, same story in Arizona, same story in Alabama. This is a national crisis we have to address.
Well, Rikers, an American Jail, will broadcast on LPB tomorrow, as in Wednesday, at 8 p.m., following a special public square discussion on criminal justice reform on LPB at 7 o'clock. And Bill Moyers, I know you take great joy in these kinds of projects, which are important in journalism. And going back, I guess, 30 years now, you left one of the major networks saying that you were displeased with the way things were evolving in network news. And I would say in the last 30 years, most people would say the evolution has not been a productive one. What's your perception now about the state of journalism, particularly electronic journalism in America?
It's still in a state of crisis because we have not developed a business model that will pay for the reporting that advertising used to pay for. So that's why newspapers around the country, including here in Louisiana, are in trouble. And it's why cable television, which deals mostly in entertainment forms of journalism, have been increasing in their importance. We need to find a way, and I don't have an answer, Jim, to how we're going to pay for the reporting that used to keep us better informed than I think we are today. There are some wonderful journalists. There's some world-class journalism in America today, and much of it's being done by independent producers, independent reporters, and independent organizations. You have some of those journalists in Louisiana. I met them when I was down there. And by the way, Jim, let me say that there are a lot of folks in that in Louisiana who are concerned about criminal justice reform, and journalists too. I grew up right across the border from Shreveport, Louisiana, in Marshall, Texas. My mother and I used to shop on Saturdays in Shreveport.
Uh-huh.
I've been to Louisiana often. I feel kind of like a second son there, and I've got to know some of the people working criminal justice. They Louisiana Public Broadcasting hosted a screening and a reception when I was in Baton Rouge lately, and I was very impressed with some of the people who are working on this issue. If we can get more journalists to, and particularly independent journalists to report on it and do the kind of thing you're doing right now, I think we can make progress here. And I think Louisiana can make some important strides in showing us how to reduce our prison population and improve our prison, our treatment of prisoners.
Well, you have had a varied life, and I think some people know that you are an ordained minister.
I started out that way. I thought when I was growing up in Marshall that that's what I wanted to do. I had a sense of calling. I later shifted that to thinking about teaching in a religious organization. But then I was attracted due to a professor of ethics at Southwestern Theological Seminary, from which I graduated. I was drawn to the impact of faith on politics and government. And I also had a fascinating, a compelling interest in journalism. I went to work with my local newspaper in Marshall, Texas, when I was 16. So, you know, one of the great people I interviewed over the years, Joseph Campbell, the historian and scholar of mythology, said, you know, you never know at a given moment if there's a purpose to life. But when you look back after a while, you realize that forces were converging like a wind at your back to move you in the direction of what you should be doing. And I found my place in journalism 50 years ago when I left the White House, became the publisher of a newspaper, and then drifted into broadcasting, and I haven't looked back or regretted it at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you were 26 years old, you were on the front lines of the presidential campaign in which John Kennedy was elected president and your boss, Lyndon Johnson, was elected vice president. Why do you think there is this great reverence for that time for people who weren't even alive when Kennedy and Johnson were in office?
Well, part of it is failing to remember that it had another side to it. I mean, there was a time in the 50s to the mid-60s when there was hope that collectively we might solve some of the problems that the democracy had created for itself, the issue of poverty, civil rights, voting rights, all of that. And by the way, I spent a good bit of time working with the delegation from Louisiana in the Senate and the House when I was working at the White House. I got to be good friends with late Senator Russell Long and others of that ilk. My wife campaigned in 60 and 64 for LBJ in Louisiana. And there was hope, even among Southern Democrats who were more conservative than those up here in the Northeast, that we could solve some of the issues we faced. Of course, each effort we made created additional problems that we just didn't have and resolved to finish the work before President Johnson escalated the war in Vietnam, and that became a source of great division and inner strife in the country, and consumed the resources that we had been spending on domestic policies, and we never really returned to the task at hand, which was to make democracy and government work for everybody. That was our goal. We were on the way to it, and then we got trapped in the quagmire of Vietnam and the racial tensions that rose in response to the civil rights movement, and we've not really gotten back on the path, I regret to say.
The documentary that we started with our discussion, Rikers, an American Jail, broadcast tomorrow night, May 24th, 8 p.m. on LPB. But before we leave, we've got about 45 seconds. Can you summarize the early stages, the first 4 months of President Trump?
Yes, unfortunately, incredible chaos and confusion and a lack of direction and purpose. I've never seen anyone like Mr. Trump in the presidency. We've had some unfortunate presidencies in our history, but he's a force that defies the ability of journalists to find the words to describe it, so that people who listen and watch this really understand what's going on. I mean, he's a man who seems to have no grounding, a man who seems to be out of touch with the reality of the country. So,
well, Bill, we're going to have to part company, but it's an honor to speak with you. Bill Moyers, the documentary is Rikers in American Jail, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on LPB.